producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Once again, welcome to America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with you. All right, so be honest. You know, we're coming out of the whole Halloween thing. Did you eat a whole bunch of Halloween candy? But isn't that the problem with that? Because now kids half the time aren't coming to the door anyway, or are they coming to the door? You live in a nice little neighborhood, but you don't know how many kids are going to come, so you have way too much candy, and then what happens to the candy? And then you go to the grocery store, and it's on sale for like a penny. You mean malt balls? I can have some malt balls and some dots and some musketeer bars. I just steer right away from that. Oh, it's so brutal. I'd love to know, and of course kids with cavities, I'd love to know what the cavity ratio is after you get through Halloween. Anyway, having said that, yeah, put the candy down. That's what I always say to myself. Just put the candy down. Although I'm not a huge candy person, but like anyone else, we're all only human, right? And so if you're sitting there and it's in front of you, like I just mentioned, and you have a whole bunch of leftover stuff, yeah, that's what's going to happen. Pretty much, I think that's what's going to happen. All right, let's move on to something else. You know, last week in the World Series, there was that crazy thing that happened with the boom, boom, out goes the power. And it was a long game. It was that epic 14-inning game. And it was an epic fail by Fox. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Just all of a sudden I'm watching and the screen pops up. We are experiencing technical difficulties. And the deal is, you know, it was delayed about 7 minutes. And this was with one out in the bottom of the fourth inning. That's when the feed, the video feed from Fox failed. So both teams also lost access to their replay rooms. And what did Fox have to say about that afterwards? They said, well, before the start of the bottom of the fourth inning, a rare electronics failure caused both the primary and backup generators inside our production compound to lose power. It was immediately addressed. It resulted in the audience missing one at-bat during the time needed to switch to the carriage, is what they called it, of Major League Baseball's international feed, which was powered by a different generator on site. And the on-field delay was due to replay. Said they apologized for the interruption and the coverage. The umpires talked to both of the managers who put on headsets to speak with the replay center in New York. And you know, here we go. We didn't have replay before. Now replay. Look what happened with the whole replay thing. And the broadcast came back at the start of the bottom of the fifth inning after Curtis Granderson put the Mets ahead 2-1 with a homer off of Volquez with one out in the top half. So crazy. You know, I can't recall seeing that. Well, I've seen technical difficulties, of course, but not where they had the backup thing, and then there was the problem with the backups of the replay, and this is now the thing that in Major League Baseball, because of replay, now that's something that they have to deal with, and I didn't even think of that. Did you think of that? Crazy. All right, so we move along to something completely different from replay. You know, I got a note from Jake, who frequently emails us, and in fact, we've got a mailbag segment coming up, of course, in the show, and Jake says, Kate, I'm wondering how much stock we should put into the polls. Do you really think that the polls are predicting what we're going to see in these elections? And I know there's all different kinds of polls. Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. It seems like everybody and their brother does a poll. I mean, you have the network polls, the Wall Street Journal and NBC, and you've got universities that are doing some polls, and you have Gallup that does a poll. And you're right, there's just a myriad of polls, the poll of polls. I do think there's something to it. That's why I say all the time, there's no reason to pay these pollsters big bucks if it didn't ever add up to predictors markers as to what could happen. And, of course, there's no way to know exactly. This is just a sampling of people, but it's what the trend is. And if you have all these different, and even, let's face it, some of them slanted in certain directions. Well, if you have all these different slants, then, and they're all coming up with kind of similar things, well, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? It means that there has to be some kind of a trend out there, or we wouldn't see that. So, yes, there is something to the polls. There absolutely is some kind of predictions to that. I mean, otherwise, why bother? Again, why bother to look at the polls, to put any merit or any weight in them? And, you know, that's the bottom line. There is some way to it. So there's my answer. That is my answer. That I think saying that it's going to predict exactly every poll you read, because they change anyway, and they change as when somebody stays in, dumps out, whatever, but there is something very real about them, or it wouldn't matter. You know, period. It would not matter. All right, we move on to something else. And like I said, don't forget, we've got our segment coming up, the mailbag segment. In this show, we always do a mailbag segment because so many of you have a lot to say, frankly, that I think is worthwhile about everything from politics to some other trend that we're seeing that's disturbing or something that you think is worth mentioning. So keep those emails coming. Keep those emails coming. One of the things that's being discussed a lot lately, especially we just went through another debate, and you know, I was just there talking about the polls, being asked a question about whether they hold weight or not, is people are wondering whether Ben Carson's religion hurts him or not. Does it hurt him with evangelical voters because he's a Seventh-day Adventist? And I just read a story last week about that, and in fact, if anything, he's getting a boost from it, so that there's pretty much an evidence that that's not hurting him, because he's risen through the polls of among Republican primary voters, we're seeing anyway, that he's trumping Trump. So the idea that his religion, the Seventh-day Adventist religion, is hurting him, I don't think so. I even read a quote where the leader of the policy arm of the Southern Baptist Convention said that most Americans don't associate Carson with being a Seventh-day Adventist or know much about his faith, but it probably doesn't matter. And what he says is evangelicals are a narrative people, and they resonate with somebody who went, if not from being lost to found, then at least from poverty to success. And a lot of people have a character of evangelicals from the TV evangelicals in the 80s, and that's not what we're about. So it's interesting that the faith, you know, most people don't associate him with it, first of all. They don't know much about it, but it probably doesn't matter, is what this pretty influential leader is saying. And I would say the same thing. I don't think it's hurting. Remember they used to say that about Mitt Romney, and, oh, he's a Mormon, but what about other people? Is that going to hurt their what they think about it? I don't think so. All right, stay with us. Flying to the other side.
Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. checkout. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code George if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
It's time to kick some ash, because cigarettes have met their match. Smokers are switching to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig, because when you kick ash, you kick tar and smelly smoke too. LeSig smokes the competition with real people customer service, a 7-day satisfaction guarantee, and same-day fast free shipping. Become a vapor today at LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes, kick some ash.
Testing, testing, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Testing.
That's as much.
Yes. You can't turn me off. Daniel, you've got to listen to me now.
Am I?
Everybody knows how passionate I feel about space exploration for a multitude of reasons. We've had him on a bunch, and he's always fun to talk to, and I am passionate, really, about this program, this idea of going to Mars for sure, not making an idea, making it a reality. Chris Carberry joins us now with Explore Mars. You can go to exploremars.org. He is the CEO. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me on again.
I'm excellent. And, you know, we're thick into this political season that seems to never end. And it's an interesting question, and you wrote about it. And we're going to talk about the Martian, the movie coming up, and all that kind of stuff. But how are the politicians, because I haven't even paid attention to this. I've paid attention to some of what they're saying, but I guess I have a hard time finding it because they don't talk about it very much. But where do the politicians stand when it comes to the exploration of Mars and just space in general?
In general, you know, we've heard a few of the candidates have been asked about, you know, whether they support human missions to Mars or space exploration in general. And a number of them have given broad answers saying they're supportive, or others have been skeptical. And so it's hard to really differentiate at this point in time. It's early on in the campaign, even though it seems like it's been going on forever. we still are pretty early on, but, you know, it is our hope. We're going to be speaking to all the candidates. Make sure, you know, I think the key thing is making sure they have all the facts. I think that's the biggest obstacle to us actually achieving the goal of getting humans to Mars, is making sure, you know, our elected officials and the general public understand the facts, that we can actually afford this. This wouldn't require major increases in the NASA budget. And technologically speaking, we can get this done. But we need political sustainability. We need to make sure when the next president comes in, they don't all of a sudden hit the reset button again and we kind of scratch everything we've been working on and start something new. So we have to show them we have a good policy in place, but it still needs to be fleshed out. We still need to make sure we fill in all these gaps to show how we're actually going to achieve this exciting goal.
Yeah, and well said. How do we achieve it? Now, in the area of trying to achieve it, there's some big moments coming up, actually, for NASA. One of the ideas is figuring out, you know, where, what the mission's going to look like. In other words, landing spots. There's a workshop about that at NASA. Explain that. I didn't realize this was coming up.
Yeah, this is very exciting, and this is the first time they've ever officially done this, as far as I know, actually having a workshop, bringing in folks from the space community, but also broadening it beyond there to talk about when we land on Mars, where would be the ideal locations to land humans, you know, and talking about a whole bunch of issues, because there are a lot of issues, you know, places where, of course, it's safer than land. We can't land them in the middle of a canyon, but also where it's close enough to scientific interesting locations, you know, to kind of be able to figure out, look at the geology, look at the potential for past or present life, but also, very important, you know, try to figure out if people can actually live on Mars for any extended period of time. So all these factors are going to come into play with, as we're at this workshop, trying to figure out maybe the top 10 candidates, you know, right now. And it's important, even though human missions to Mars might be 20 years off, it's actually not too early, because as we kind of settle on this list, you know, NASA and other players are going to want to look at, based on this list, what do we need to be doing with our architecture, but also with precursor science missions? You know, so it'll help us direct a lot of the missions coming up to really focus it towards, you know, these landing sites and what we need to do, what we need to understand. So it should be very interesting. And once again, it's a first, as far as I know, at NASA.
Yeah, and so if all this comes together, let's say in the perfect world, when could we possibly see these missions happening? Like 2030, sometime in those years, or what does it look like?
Yeah, most thinking these days is that we will land in the 2030s. You know, we've been pushing, Explore Mars has been pushing to get it done by the early 2030s. But, you know, we've heard a number of different concepts of landing in the mid to late 2030s. But the longer we push it off, I think, the less likely we're actually going to achieve it, because that's an awful long time to keep a program going. So I think if we need to push a little harder, get a little more urgency in this planning to find a way to speed it up a bit so it's no later than the early 2030s. But generally speaking, most plans are thinking in that time frame right now.
Yeah, how much we finally have this happening now. The Martian is coming up, and it's going to be in theaters next week. And so I would assume that that's also going to help fuel the fires, fan the flames, if you will, help for this whole idea of Mars and making it a reality. Do you feel that way?
I do. You know, it's just a movie, so I don't want to push it too far. You know, it is a piece of science fiction, so none of us will say that the movie The Martian is going to get us actually motivate our mission to Mars, but it's a great opportunity to open this discussion at a very pivotal time. And unlike, I have never seen any movie get the support from NASA that this movie is getting, because unlike previous movies, which were actually far more far-fetched, this one's also aligns very well with our current space policy, which is to get humans to Mars. So I think it's a great chance to look at it and talk about, you know, what the realistic possibilities of achieving this mission, because this is an achievable goal. Hopefully we won't strand an astronaut on Mars like in The Martian, but, you know, the overall mission concepts are actually much more realistic than many, many previous space movies we've seen in the past.
Yeah, no kidding. It's interesting. I don't know if we've ever had this discussion, maybe when we first talked, but what fuels your passion for Mars?
You know, there are a lot of things, but, you know, interestingly, of course, I'm excited about the science, figuring out if there's ever been past or present life there, and whether we can have humans there. But one of the things that actually has driven me even more so is the ability for the space program, particularly going to Mars, to inspire the public, to raise our national morale. We've had a national morale problem for the last few years in the country. People think that we're falling behind, that, you know, other countries are passing us by. But I think this is one of the things we can do. It's not a huge percentage of the federal budget that can really, if we do it right, can just inspire the country, boost our national morale, and that's not just important for space exploration. That can affect our economy, our overall national, you know, morale, how we feel about ourselves. Anybody watching the stock market knows, you know, the economy and the stock market are largely based on psychology, how we feel about the country and the direction we're going. So I think it has the power to, if we do it right, have a much more dramatic impact on the country than just, you know, just going to Mars and exploring, which are also important in themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. So I was thinking about this the other day, too, as I've met plenty of astronauts in my life. The astronauts that would be on these Mars missions, we haven't met them yet, maybe, right?
No, we haven't met them, but they are probably alive today. That's one of the exciting things. We kind of call, and there's a new group called this also, but we call them the Mars Generation. The people who are going to walk on Mars are almost certainly walking around now. They probably are actually in stool, you know, right now. But they're, you know, they're here on this Earth in all probability. You know, we'll probably, there might be some that are actually at NASA now, but they, by the time we get there in 20 years or so, they're going to be, you know, quite a bit older. But, we probably haven't met them yet.
Yeah, I think it's just so fascinating to me, the whole idea of when this is going to happen and all of that. One last one, Chris, because this is always intriguing to me. Unfortunately, you know, we would have had this happen in the 80s, and who knows how many people would have been able to do it, but taking civilians and taking them up in the space program, you think that we're going to realize that in our lifetime?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maybe not with the space program itself, but with all these commercial players. It's been a little slower than everybody would have preferred. And maybe back in the 80s when they were talking about having, you know, tourism on the space shuttle, that was a little bit too ambitious. But there are numerous companies out there right now that are trying to start space tourism. And while it's been taken a lot longer than they had hoped and we'd all hoped, I think we're finally going to get there this decade. So I think it'll start growing, and the price will come down as they perfect the technology and they get more demand. So I think we'll all have some interesting prospects for going up into space in the next 10 to 20 years.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be fun to watch how that all unfolds. All right, so check it out, ExploreMars.org, CEO Chris Carberry. Thanks so much, as always, for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thanks for having me on again.
M1 to CK, knocking over completed takeoff from Gulf 3 successfully, starting rocket motor to continue flight over the Earth. Next step, Mars. 35 million miles.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now, for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. you can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack and was told I'd be on disability for the rest of my life. What did I do? I created Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without a Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Mail, letters, papers, and packages delivered by carrier, train, and plane, sent and delivered through post, regardless of sunshine or rains.
Let's head to the mailbag once again. An overwhelming amount of email, so let's get right to it. I say this all the time. You can send in thoughts about anything, whether you want to tell me a story about your life, something that's going on in the area, something politically motivated because you're frustrated or you're applauding something someone's done or whatever it is. Just in other words, it's the grab bag. Go to americatonight.net, click on contact, and bada bing, you are in. Let's take our first one. This one is from Joe. Joe says, Kate, I don't know if you've got, you talk about, and you haven't done this as much recently, I listen all the time, you talk about natural disasters, and I know that recently there were floods in Texas. I was wondering your thoughts about that, and what's the worst natural disaster you ever covered? Wow, that's a great question. I do say this on the air. I haven't actually said it in a while. I've been in an earthquake, but I was on the lower side of the earthquake, so I was in San Luis Obispo, and I got the aftershocks. But covering it was brutal. People, I mean, just things collapsed all over the place. It was like an earthquake does. It was awful. Floods. I've covered a lot of flooding things. I used to work, when I first got out of school, one of my first jobs was Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they had those arroyos that would fill up with water. And, oh my gosh, people were carrying, I mean, nobody, some of the floods I covered, people died, but a lot of times people were rescued and kids were rescued. And you would see guys with kids up to their, you know, they'd be up to their waist in water holding kids over their head. And it was just incredible. You know, when they say that thing about flash floods, and just recently, a few weeks ago, we had the floods in Texas again, because no rain. Everyone's complaining, no rain. And then all of a sudden the rain comes and it doesn't stop. And you're talking 3-4 days of rain. And depending on where you lived, it was terrible in Houston. I think they got hit the worst. But if you're near creeks that were overflowing, dams, whatever, that's the whole thing. What's overflowing? Lakes. And I see it around me. Once again, it was funny because waters receded in areas where there were, you know, where there was bicycle paths, and it wasn't, you wouldn't see the water that high. Now, once again, you see the trees. So a lot of parks and whatnot are closed in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, all around the state. It's interesting because a few years ago, it was like a dry pit in some places. You go to Austin, Texas, they have Lake Travis. And I think, who would want to have their wedding here, because people are famous for having weddings? Because it was just like a dust bowl, half of it. But not now. Now it's all filled up. So to answer your question, disasters, floods, fires. I've covered fires. I covered in Kearney, Nebraska. I covered a terrible tornado. And boy, I saw, that's where I first really learned about tornadoes. I saw what happened, how one side of the street, we went out with cameras to talk to the people, one side of the street just ripped to hell. I mean, it just looked awful, just things shredded all over the place. And, of course, you care more about the human life. And then across the street, nothing. Like, nothing had happened. Not even a tree down. Nothing toppled over. So random. It's like an eeny, meeny, miny, moe. That's what I thought in my head. Immediately, that's what popped up. That, wow, it really is just fate, whatever, that you may get hit or you may completely survive that. It just depends where you are in a street, what's happened, you know, that kind of stuff. So yeah, good question. So really everything. I've covered the fire, flood, earthquake, tornado, yes, all of those that I can think of. Okay, we move on. So, again, that was a good question. Let's move on to another one. This one is from Keith. And Keith says, Kate, I like America Tonight. I listen. I always think I want to call you. And I guess I just get so involved in the show and listening to what you're talking about, whether you're interviewing somebody or you're just going off on something or somebody's calling you or whatever it might be. But whatever it is, I have to tell you, I enjoy the variety of the show, so keep doing what you're doing, and don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Do you have, I know you do some sports here and there, you'll inject it into the show occasionally, like you do the football thing. Do you have favorite teams? You know, when you move around a lot, sometimes your favorite teams kind of change. I would say that, you know, without a doubt, I grew up in Philly, so I'm an Eagles fan, but I covered the Cowboys, and I really liked a lot of the guys that I covered, and my husband's a Cowboy fan, so there's lots of Cowboy peeps around me. I like baseball. Ooh, and baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies remind me a lot of my mom. She used to take us to games, and she was so into the Phillies. She was so into baseball and listening to baseball on the radio and or on TV. So I'd say the Philadelphia Phillies would be on my list too. And then, you know, then I'm kind of wide open. Basketball, I like basketball, but there wasn't really a team for me. The Sixers were always terrible when I was growing up, so I wasn't really into the Sixers, but I liked to hoop. So it could be any team there, you know. It's interesting. I think like politics, sports are personal. Whether it reminds you of something as a kid and it's where you grew up, and so you, of course you're going to always root for them no matter what the team is, whatever the sport is, or you move somewhere and you just love it. That this is home, this is my place, and now I am part of this, whatever the team is. Everybody's excited because we're on this hot run, like, you know, whatever it is, whether we're talking about baseball, whether we're talking about football. I mean, you think of the undefeated teams in football, and you know, if you live in Denver, you're just psyched about the Broncos. If you live in Carolina, you're psyched about Carolina. And sometimes that happens. You know, one place where loyalty usually sticks with you, though, is in college sports. If you went to a decent-sized school, and maybe it doesn't have to be a big school, but if you went to a big school, I just think you went to Texas, you went to Texas A&M, you went to Penn State, you went to Ohio State, you went to UCLA, you went to Mississippi State, whatever, that you always bleed for that school. So you have some sweatshirt or T-shirt or whatever, and that's it. I mean, you love that team. And that's also, if you didn't go to school or you grew up in the area, then you also tend to adopt that team. So good question. That's an interesting question for sure. All right, we move on to Gregory, who says, America Tonight, I've been listening to what we've been talking about with the polls, and do you think, here's my question, it just seems like the polls are so slanted to me. Do you think the polls really predict what we're going to see ultimately and who's going to be president or who's going to get the nomination on both sides of the equation, whether it's Democrats or Republicans? You know, a lot of people think polls are just crap. I mean, I don't know how to disguise it. They don't like it. That's a better way to say it. They don't like the polls because they think it's too small of a sampling, and, wow, why should we listen to the polls? What do the polls really tell us? But I say this all the time because we've, in fact, I'll do this again. This is a good question. I'll have somebody on, you know, from that world to talk about polls and how they poll, and you think of Gallup, you think of others, and the reason they poll is because the polls, a lot of times the polls do predict the temperature of people in different areas. I mean, it doesn't even have to be just politics. Does it mean that that's exactly what's going to happen? No, but Trump is leading, Carson is leading, Hillary Clinton is leading, Bernie Sanders is leading in some places, getting numbers. The other people, Lindsey Graham, nothing. Chris Christie, nothing. You think there's a chance that Chris Christie is going to be president? I think there is no chance that Chris Christie is going to be president. I think there's no chance that Lindsey Graham is going to be president. And that's, you look at the polls predict that. So there is something to polling. It's a sampling. And it doesn't mean that that's going to be the definite outcome, but especially in politics, they're all about polls. If you are a campaign person and you're helping to get somebody elected, you are taking the temperature constantly because you want to know about issues, you want to know what people think. Therefore, you can adjust or know, you think you get a better sense of what the people are thinking. You think you know what the people are thinking. It is a sampling. You're right. It is a sampling. And it seems sometimes when you see the polls, you think, I can't believe that's what people think. And really, that's the sampling? And sometimes it is surprising to me, yes. But no, you can't just completely trash the polls. And look at the effect the polls had on the Republicans, because the first debate, if you didn't poll well enough, you were in the baby debate, the debate that didn't get as much attention because it was earlier in the night versus the other debate. So that mattered. It was a cut line. So it does matter to answer the question, you know, absolutely. And for those reasons, the predictions of who usually ends up being at least close to being elected or the person that's being thought about the most, there is something to that. Or the people who do the polling wouldn't get paid the money they're paid. Gallup wouldn't exist, and Gallup polls on all kinds of things. If there wasn't a need for that, if companies weren't hiring Gallup, if politicians weren't concerned and they weren't looking at it, then they wouldn't exist. We wouldn't have them. And there, you know, I'll tell you where polling does a disservice, when they're polling exit polling when people vote. Because what happens when people are on the West Coast, and a lot of you are listening to us on the West Coast, and you hear what's happening all over the East Coast and the rest of the country, how much does that play a part in affecting the vote or what people mentally are thinking about voting? Something to think about. Great question. Thank you. All the questions are always great. By the way, no questions too small or whatever. Just send whatever you think. AmericaTonight.net. Thanks, everybody, and keep those emails coming.
Don't complain. complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral!
Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
John E. Wade II. He is the author of the new book, The Bipolar Millionaire and the Operation. And I'll tell you what, John Wade, from everything that people have told me, is quite an interesting character. He's an author, investor, and millionaire. But key to this is what he went through and what so many people go through and what we have definitely talked about over the years here on America Tonight, the struggles that people have with bipolar disorder, first in often in getting it diagnosed and in telling people and in figuring out, now what do I do? John, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate your time.
It's good to be here.
So tell me, take me back to realizing what was going on in your head and realizing, geez, what you had. When were you diagnosed as somebody who was bipolar?
Well, actually, I was at the Air Force Academy at age 17 in 1963, and I had meningitis after basic cadet summer. I was a fourth classman, and then about a month after that, I came down with my first episode of bipolar disorder, but it wasn't diagnosed until 8 years later in 1971. And then I had a rocky time in my 70s, although I did graduate first in my class in accounting at the University of Georgia. Went on to get my master's, got my CPA, went through 29 years of being a CPA in public, private, and governmental accounting.
Well, how tough was it, though? So you were able to focus to get the degrees and then to go into the profession, but how tough was it to battle that really serious disorder that is kind of off the charts? Some days, am I right, some days you're totally fine, and other days you just are not the same person.
That's correct. There's no question. People like Winston Churchill and Abraham Lincoln had bipolar disorder. I've been cured of bipolar disorder from the negative part, which is the depression. And I kept the positive part, which is the big thinking, energy, and creativity.
And so being cured, how did take us through that journey? How were you cured?
Well, I was cured by a combination of a long-term treatment from 1980 until about 2003. And then actually in 1998 is when the operation, by the way, is not a surgical procedure. It's a secret government agency comprised of the government and private entities. And they use transactional analysis on me to cure me. Thousands and thousands and thousands of images to build up my self-esteem, and that's the biggest thing that causes depression is lack of self-esteem and what I call dual depression. Internalized stigma is what I call it.
And the operation, you say, you know, the operation is a powerful network, and how did you get involved with that? How did you get picked for that? How did that happen?
Well, I think there's several things that they pick. They train government leaders. They look for people who are suffering from mental illness or to treat or cure them. They study people who, and they're trying to build artificial intelligence research. Let me read you one sentence from World Order, which I'm in the process of reviewing from Henry Kissinger, page 356. The proliferation and ubiquitous sensors tracking and analyzing individuals, recording and transmitting their every experience, in some cases now, essentially from birth, and at the forefront of computing, anticipating their thoughts, opens up repressive as well as liberating possibilities. And that's the sort of thing that's followed me since 1998.
Wow. And obviously, what a change. What would you tell people who are suffering through the same thing?
One thing that I would tell people is to try to develop a resilience and at the same time to be kind to themselves and for family and friends to use what I call informed kindness. It's basically mostly hereditary, and it's not something. It's not you're a bad character because you have bipolar disorder. It's a physical thing, a chemistry of your brain.
Oh boy, isn't that the truth? And I think there's so much confusion over the chemistry of the brain for so many people.
The good thing is we know so much more than
yes.
we knew when I first came down
yeah.
with it in 1963.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right. It's such a difference from 1963 to what we see now today. And I love the way you said be kind, especially relatives, because I had this discussion actually with the wife of a famous doctor who had two children and one was wildly successful. The other one was battling all kinds of demons with bipolar disorder, and they didn't realize it, and they would constantly tell him, why can't you get your act together? Why can't you do this? And they beat him up so much that eventually he ended up committing suicide. They didn't realize what he was going through, and they thought they were giving him tough love, and he just didn't have a direction, but it turned out that wasn't what it was at all.
Well, see, the situation is, you realize that there are more suicides? In 2013, there were 41,149 suicides, and automobile deaths the year before were 30,800. And the number of people killed by psychotic deaths, from what I've read, is around 350.
Wow.
And yet that's what's reported in the paper, and that, in my opinion, is what keeps this stigma alive. And the stigma forces internalized stigma, and that prolongs and increases and causes the depression.
Yeah. Do you
and
think
it's my life and death?
Yeah, life and death. I agree with you. Do you think that the drugs that we have are they helping? Are they working on some people?
Oh, definitely. I take drugs.
That sounds good.
Not illegal drugs.
I gotcha.
I take medications, and I have a superb psychopharmacist, and he does a wonderful job of prescribing, and he doesn't try to tweak them all the time. But he does tweak them from time to time, and it's bipolar disorder is the most treatable mental illness there is if you accept the diagnosis, follow the treatment, and do everything that everybody else needs: diet, exercise, rest, sleep, all these other things.
What do you hope people take away from your book?
I want people to think that I'm blessed and that they can be blessed too. If you overcome adversity in your life, you gain wisdom from it. And I think the operation did me a great favor by what they've done over their benevolent operation. And although there were hard parts in it, they were also good parts. The important thing about the operation is that hearing just the right thing at the right time. It's been a moment-by-moment experience for a long period of time, but it's had amazing results.
Yeah, so well put. I love that. Amazing results over time, so it's just a process for sure. The book is called The Bipolar Millionaire and the Operation, John E. Wade II. John, continued good health, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, I loved it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs knows the importance of proper digestion.
Make sure you take a look at the ultimate enzyme product. They're made with bile salts and fat digestion enzymes and protein digestive enzymes. And not only do the ultimate enzymes give you obvious benefits for digestion, but they can also help keep your blood flowing through your circulatory system. As most of you probably know by now, thick, sludgy, clotting blood is a serious risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Clearly, inappropriate and excessive blood clotting is a major health issue, and thick, sludgy blood is not just about heart health either. Sludgy blood can compromise oxygenation and nutrient delivery to all your cells and tissues and organs, and ultimately lead to almost any health issue you can name.
Concerned about proper digestion and heart health? Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470, or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.